as we always blessed.
Hallelujah.
In this ministry each week to come before the Lord to receive from Him a message, and that's what a sermon should be, a message. One should never come to go to church and say, we had church today, like we just got through praising them. That's great. But then when you ask them, what did the preacher preach about? I don't know. But we sure had church today. Receiving the message of the Word of God. Receiving the essence. And intelligence of what He has done for us in eternity. Before you ever got here, God had already worked everything out. And is laying in the heavens in Christ Jesus in storage. Pastor Paul, as he was getting ready to leave, said, I've fought a good fight. I've done what? I've finished my course. Did it sound like he was complaining?
No.
So I'm ready to be offered. And there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. Most of God's people don't understand that. It's all about the here and the now and what we see. Now, I haven't even checked with minister, but all of the ministering from this ministerial staff is always from the eternal plane. Those who don't like eternity will find this to be a very boring ministry. Because this is where we dwell. This is where our focus is. Let us receive Elder William Liverman as he shall come this morning and convey unto us the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive the messenger and, more importantly, the message. But very hearty, amen.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. I tell you, pastor mission, Paul said in Timothy, told Timothy, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Pastor, you must saw my notes last night.
No.
Amen. Thank God. I tell you, thank God for everyone here. Thank God for, let's give the Lord a hand for family and friends today. Amen. God. I look around and see all my friends, my former pastor, my former principal, Ms. Howard, my cousin Jimmy, and many others. God bless you, and God bless everyone. We're in for the treat today, amen?
Amen?
And you know, let me say this before we get started. I'm not a mind reader, don't claim to be, but I'm almost sure that some of you, when you came in, you looked around and said, oh, this is a small church. Amen, it's a small church in terms of what you see. But let me share something with you about smallness. You know, I thought about this last night, and then move on. God has always majored in small things. For example, I was thinking right now, even though when the word goes forth, when the message goes forth today, I text a brother, Victor Henderson, who's head of our tech department. By the way, that's our tech department right there. Our message goes over in Africa, Pakistan, India, across the globe. In other words, if we don't get the mess every Sunday, if it's not at a certain time, if they don't hear it, pastor gets a call. Because they want to know, wait, where's the message? So this is a, quote, mega church regarding the word. Because it goes worldwide through our internet. And by the way, you can view that Grace Gospel Ministry, www.gracegospelministry.com. Okay, also, what about smallness? I was thinking this week, the story of Gideon. Gideon, the Israelites were in captivity by the Midianites. And they started with 20,000 men, powerful men. Oh, yeah, we can conquer. God said too many. God put those numbers down to 10,000. And then they said, oh, yeah, we can do it. God said, no, too many. They said, God said, go by the river, and those that lappeth the water, drink the water as a dog lappeth, those are the ones that I'm going to use. It was only 300. God used 300. Again, this has always been God's purpose. Moving on. Jesus, the king, the Messiah, wasn't born in a palace. You know the story. Born in a stable. Now, I'm a country boy. I know when you talk about a stable, I remember my parents would tell me, go in the stable and, you know, feed the animals. You open the door, you know how it smells, right? Jesus was born in a stable. Smallness. Not in the king's court. No. Moving right on. When he first appeared, did not appear to the famous people in that day. Appeared to the lowly shepherds. Now, if you study the shepherds, they were what? Lowly? Insignificant? But they were the first to hear the message of what? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So God has always what? Major in what? He does that for a purpose. And that's what we can talk about today. Purpose. See, God does it because there's nothing wrong with a 20,000 member church. Wonderful as long as we're preaching the word, right? But many times when you get into big numbers, it's all people's way, we're special. But what Paul said, when we're weak and small, he's what? He's strong. So he's the one that gets all the praise, honor, and glory. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all of our friends, family. We thank you, Lord, for bringing about another family and friends day. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We ask that you will energize the word according to your spirit. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. We thank you. We lift up Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. To him, Father, let everything else be decreased. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be exalted. And Father, we thank you, Lord, as we point to Christ. We thank you for the word of God today, Father. Oh, God, we ask that you will energize the word, Father. Elevate your people to a higher plane. Oh, God, take us to eternality, to the realm of all things having been decreed by your eternal purpose. Lord, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. And Father, in everything we point to you, and we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. Well, let's see. I tell you, I was going over this. I said, well, it was, based on time, it would probably take me 3 hours to get through this. But after this, we're going to go downstairs to eat. So we're going to condense 3 hours down to... I have an hour. Okay, my wife is back there laughing. Okay, Sister Preacher Liverman, I would be obedient. Oh, Lord, that's another story. Okay, the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 3. I hope you bought your Bibles today. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Someone give you one, because we don't want to leave the church and say, okay, what did the preacher say? It doesn't matter what the preacher said. What did the Word of God say? See? Anybody can have their opinions. We want to speak what thus saith the Lord. Amen. What does the Word of God say? We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Mm-hmm. Amen. I repeat. I hear some pages. We can go real slow. Ephesians again, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Deacon Gavin's going to be our reader. And what we're going to do now, you can read. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 because for time. We can go and read, because I know most of you have the King James. So we'll read this in the King James, but we're going to focus on verse 11 in the Greek. Amen. Because there's something that Paul states in the Greek that we're going to focus on. But let's read, Deacon Gavin, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11.
Again, we're reading from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning verse 1, King James Version. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you ward. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Now let me say this. We'll start right now. What Paul is saying, the mystery, this information that I have, was not made known to the in other ages. It was Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Moses did not know what we're about to, in Paul's epistles, the letters to the church, the grace church, they didn't know it. It was all new information. A whole dispensation that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. Keep reading, Dee.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I was made a minister.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. You notice again, new information. This was not revealed. In other words, even in the kingdom gospel message, that message that Jesus preached and he commanded his disciples to preach, even in the kingdom gospel message, Gentiles were cut off. In fact, one time I thought Jesus was hard on the Gentiles. One time a woman came to him and said, Jesus, Lord, heal me. The Syrophoenician woman, you know the story. And what did Jesus say? Just paraphrase it. Get away from me. I'm not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Somebody said Jesus was hard on her. No, he wasn't. At that time, Gentiles were cut off. And it was on until God raised up Saul, who was persecuting the early church, and gave him, took him away in the desert of Arabia for 3 years, and gave him what? This information for the church today. Amen? Let's move on.
Of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
The unsearchable, okay.
Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose.
According to the eternal purpose.
Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Everything according to God's eternal purpose. No, it didn't say what? His earthly purpose. It said his eternal purpose. The everlasting purpose. Now, what about his eternal purpose? Now, what we're going to do is this. We know most of you all have the King James, but let me say this. The King James is my favorite translation, all right? So we don't mean to be picking the King James. My favorite book, a translation. However, if you really want the really more accurate thought conveyance, you have to go in the older manuscripts where the Bible was written. In other words, in Jesus' day, the Bible was written in Greek, in the Greek language. So what we use the interlinear Greek because many times where there's a verb. In the King James, it should have been an adjective. Or if there is a present tense in the King James, you look in the Greek, it should have been what? Past tense. So when you go to the Greek, you really get the true essence of what God is saying to the church. Amen? So let's read verse 11 in the interlinear Greek text.
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, interlinear Greek text. According to purpose.
According to purpose.
Of the ages.
Of the ages.
Which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord of us.
According to the purpose of the ages. Now, Some of you may have this notation, even in your Bible. If you're looking at where it says purpose, that word purpose, that's what we call, first, it's in the aorist tense. Aorist is a past completed action. And it's also in the indicative mood. And the indicative is a fact. In other words, it's a what? Past completed fact that God has an eternal purpose for all of his children. Everything works by God's eternal purpose. And when you understand this, you don't go through life having the shakes of, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? You know that you may not understand everything, but God has an eternal purpose. Again, it's a past completed what? Fact. That his purpose is what? An eternal one. So everything happens is going to go according to God's eternal purpose. Everything that we experience in life has already been purposed by God. I'm going to say that again. Everything that you experience in life has purpose. It's not just happening. Things just don't show up that. Somebody said, this just showed up. No, it didn't. God had a purpose for that. Now, let's look into this further. Something's very important. The truth is always consistent. Anything that is not true is always inconsistent. And if it's not, because if it's inconsistent, you have to make up some things. You just have to make up stuff. And if it's consistent, you don't have to, you just what? Preach and teach the word, amen? Now, here's what we're going to do. Y'all praying for me? We're going to talk about purpose today. But what we're going to do is this. We're going to talk about purpose from what? From our gospel. And then we can go back to some other parts of the Bible to understand what the Lord is saying. Because the problem that a lot of preachers and ministers have today, let's say they'll go to Genesis, and they'll try to understand it from there, but not knowing that there's limited information at that time. See, God's work is always progressive. For example, in the Old Testament, you have the leader in the Old Testament, Moses. Thank God, God gave Moses the law. And that was given to the children of Israel. In other words, in the essence, that law states, either you keep the law or you're dead. And sometimes I was wondering, why was God so hard on some of this situation in the law? For example, you know the story. One time they were taking the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And you know that they didn't have cars, right? So they had a horse put in the Ark, right? And what happened, I'm sure they were going up this little, probably semi-hill, and the cart began to fall off. And this young man, he was innocent. He called himself helping to pull the cart up, and God smote him dead. Why? Because you were not supposed to touch that. Only what? Certain what? People that God had set up. That was the oracles of the law. You keep the law. That was given to Moses. But God was continuing to give revelation. He did not stop there. So, in essence, let's go back to some things in the old writers regarding purpose. But you'll never understand these if you don't look at these from the eternal view. So, in essence, let's give testimony to this. Let's go to Romans 15:4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. What about the right of the things of old? Romans 15, verse 4. I believe everyone's ready. All right. Now, what about, again, this is the letters Paul wrote to the church at Rome. They read this in the King James first. Okay.
We're reading from Romans chapter 15, beginning verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
It says, okay, for whatsoever things were written aforetime for our learning. Now here's an example of why we go to the interlinear Greek for a more accurate thought conveyance. Go to the interlinear Greek and read what it says there in the Greek.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4, interlinear Greek text. For whatever things were previously written
For our teaching were written. In other words, the things that were written before. What things are written before? The old writings. And many times Paul he will refer to the old writings, but he will always view it from what? The information we know today. You see, in essence, if you're looking at that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church, those 14 epistles of Paul, it just gives you more information regarding the workings of God on a higher level. It gives you more information that they didn't have before. You see, I was telling a pastor the other day, if you're looking at what? The books from Romans and Hebrews. Today, it's like being in graduate school because you have more advanced knowledge. I mean, if you talk to a mathematics teacher, and let's say you have the third graders in her classroom, well, you know what? They're going to get what? Third grade information, because that's the curriculum for third grade. But now, if you want to know, this teacher's not going to go in a classroom and teach advanced calculus to third graders. But in essence, for us, God has given us more, in this dispensation, a higher avenue of knowledge that was not revealed in the past. Now, looking at this in terms of the things that were written, one thing regarding purpose that we're going to see some examples today that we need, but we're going to look at this from our gospel. It says, our gospel. Let's go to, first of all, we're going to look, what about purpose? God's eternal purpose. Because again, if you just stay within the information that was written at that time, you're going to miss it. So, for example, let's go to Genesis. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 5, and let's look at 23 to 24. All right, now, while you're turning there, this is the story of Enoch. But we're talking about purpose. In fact, Paul, while you're there, Paul makes a statement in Hebrews that Enoch was translated, that he did not see death. He was translated that he should not see death. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's go there. Deacon, I want you to read chapters, verse 23 and 24. Genesis 5, 23 and 24.
Genesis chapter 5, beginning verse 23, King James Version. And all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
God took him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If you were in that day, and you were there, and all of a sudden, Enoch was walking with God, and one day he just disappeared. God took him. Would somebody care to explain that? Why did God do that? You don't have the information. But from the information we have regarding God's eternal purpose, we have the information, because it's amazing about this verse. When people say, when you read this, that God took him, it's one thing that's interesting. Let's look at verse 25. Read verse 25, because we're going to see some things about eternal purpose here.
Now verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech.
Let's stop here. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And on the surface, people say, well, he lived 365 years, so, hey, that's a long time. So, hey, God took him. Wait a minute. Let's look into this deeper. Enoch had a son named Methuselah. Yeah. Methuselah lived 969 years. You heard the saying, oldest Methuselah. Mm-hmm. Now, let's analyze this. Why did God emphasize he took Enoch? Because if you compare, Methuselah was almost three times the age of his father Enoch. God took Enoch. In essence, Enoch had a short life. In essence, Methuselah had a long life. The question is, from our gospel, why did God take Enoch? Very simple. God took Enoch because the course of Enoch, the purpose of Enoch's life was fulfilled. And when the purpose of your life is fulfilled, you're out of here. Why did God take Enoch? Again, he was translated. God took Enoch. Again, because his purpose was fulfilled. And whenever a purpose is fulfilled, here's what's going to happen. You may be walking down a path, and there are two dimensions of purpose. In one instance, you're out of here. You're on. You're gone. The other instance, you may be going right for a certain time, God takes you left. In other words, if God's purpose for a certain course has been fulfilled, you're going to go the other way. And we're going to give some examples of this. Now, looking at this further, see, in the essence of God's workings, when his purpose has been fulfilled, he'll change course. And how many of you in your life, you have been in a situation where you've been on a job for 20 years, and all of a sudden God has shut the door? You know what will happen to some of you. God has shut the door. And you said either he shut the door either through a retirement, either through a layoff, or either you got fired. What did God tell you? What's God telling you? Your purpose on that job is over. It's history. Amen. And what happened? See, people do not understand eternal purpose. Let me tell you something. You one day, you could be so frustrated, you could say, I want to be the Jesus. I'm checking out of here. Listen, you can run in front of a Mack truck. If God's purpose for you is not on, you ain't going nowhere. You can jump from the Renaissance Center. If God's purpose for you has not been fulfilled, you ain't going nowhere. Amen. Now, somebody said, in fact, there was something a few months ago. Somebody jumped from the Golden State Bridge. He said, I'm out of here. And there, the man survived because his purpose was not fulfilled. Preacher, some of you may hear me by the way of in Africa. You may be in front of 10,000 members in your church right now as you hear this message. But if God's purpose for that ministry is fulfilled, check out how you out of here. Amen. But somebody said, who's going to take my place? You know, it's God's church. He knows what he's doing. It's God's church. You know. I don't think, you know what, I tell pastors spoil us because, man, all this deep reading, all this deep knowledge. And I said, Pastor, I'm praying that the Lord will keep you around for another 30 years. Why? I'm comfortable, right? But, hey, Pastor, not afraid. Ask him from the bottom. Come on, church. Ask him from the bottom what? Present the Lord. Ask him from the bottom. Present the Lord. If God's purpose for this myth of Pastor, and he don't mind me saying this, has been fulfilled, he's out of here. Bye-bye. You're out of here. You know, sometimes you have to look at things in the things are being related to see what God is saying. We all been in a hotel, right? You go to the hotel, and what happens? You give the girl your credit card, whoever, right? And the first thing after you pay that, you give them your credit card, you ask, when is checkout time? They say, what time is checkout time? They give you a time. In other words, checkout time. What is God's people? God is saying, check out time. What's wrong with that? Amen. No more misery, no more pain, no more, not all this crazy stuff. Check out time. Check out time. Check out time. But again, God holds the key. Amen. So we're going to look at some examples here. But thank God, everything is governed by what? Purpose. There's a purpose for everything. Where you are in life right now. From the time that you entered this world to where you are right now, everything you went through was by purpose. And see, if you don't tell God's people this, what will happen when they're going right and all of a sudden things go left, then they get frustrated. Sometimes get mad with God. But when you understand purpose, you know, God, I may not understand what you're doing. I may not understand all of your eternal workings, but I do know you love me. I do know you care for me, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, now, having said this, but we have to have the foundation that what we have, the information we have, is what? Is you have more information in these epistles. You won't get a lot of this information in other parts of the Bible. The whole Bible is God's Word. Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God. But somebody says, oh, no, you know, somebody, what do you mean? The apostles, they walked with Jesus. What do you mean Paul had more involved in their knowledge? Yeah, God gave him more. What? God gives knowledge to whom he does. He's sovereign, right? In fact, we're going to go into this scripture later. But Peter, in one account, when he got into Paul's epistles, now Peter was what? the head of the kingdom church. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the things that our brother Paul preached and teach, those things, men, those things are hard to understand. Now, if they were preaching the same thing, why did Peter say the things that Paul preached is hard to understand? If they were all preaching the same thing, why did, after God takes the apostle Paul from the desert of Arabia and he brings it back with his message, they had a big early church fight? I have to say, they had a church fight. In essence, they were saying, wait a minute. They had to reconcile these messages because the kingdom, they were saying, well, you know, you have to be saved, but you have to be baptized. Paul, in Paul's message, he said, Christ sent me not to what? Baptize, but to preach the gospel. But do you know, never in one account did they say he didn't hear from God. In essence, they said, yes, Paul, you heard from God, but we're going to take the kingdom gospel to the Jews, and you're going to take that message to the Gentiles. And that's why Paul says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. And it's amazing. I talked to a preacher friend of mine. I said, listen, why don't you preach from Paul's epistles? You know what? God used this servant to write more books than anybody has ever written, right? It seems to me that that's where you want to spend a lot of your time. Those 14 books, right? So now, let's look at purpose to see, but we're going to look at this from the eternal view. Now, in the essence of purpose, there's a story. Let me just kind of lead you up to this. A story of Elijah. Now, we know God used Elijah in his day to what? Shake the earth. One day, the God sent Elijah he slew 400 prophets of Baal. And this man, God, you worked through mighty miracles. Was used, worked through Elijah. In fact, for the past year in our Sunday school class, we have been dealing with Elijah because what happened? He looked around and he saw the what? The move of God in his life. One time he took the mantle and hit the water, and what? The river opened up. In other words, God used this man mightily, and he looked around and he said, you know how people think, I'm special. Elijah was okay, but he was arrogant. Somebody said, you mean God's people can be arrogant? Come on. Come on. Can God's people be arrogant? Every one of y'all, you know some of God's people that are arrogant. So this arrogant prophet, he looked around one day. He said, Lord, let's paraphrase. Your people, they are doing, they're messing up, they're sinning, they knocked down all the altars, and I am left alone. And they seek my life. I'm left alone. In other words, Elijah was looking at what he saw. He said, I'm the only one serving God. That's what he said. And what did God do? God had to check this prophet. You know the story. God said, Elijah, I have left to myself 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. But notice, this man, I'm sure he felt I got it going on. God needs me. Come on, people think, oh, I'm special, I'm Elijah. But notice, he has a talk with Elisha, his servant. In essence, the essence of the conversation was that God asked me what you want, Elisha, and then if it's God's will, it'll be that case. But notice what God did in the essence of purpose. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to tone in. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. See, what we're doing, that's red. We are going back and teaching. We are teaching some things, but we are teaching this from what? The knowledge of the mystery. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we know again, after the conversation with Elisha, look what happened in 2 Kings. I hear some pages. Give you a chance. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Look at this. Look at the 11th verse. Notice. Look at what happened. Elijah and Elisha. In fact, they had some people that were by the riverside. They had this last conversation. Now, look at verse what? Look at what happened again. Verse 11. Okay, D, you can read that now.
We're reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces.
Now, let's go back. Now, if you go back, if you all were in Elijah's day, and all of a sudden, here's his chariot, and the prophet is on the chariot, and all of a sudden, it disappears. If you were in his day, what conclusions would you derive? You would say, well, he was a man of God. God took him away. Why? See, you wouldn't have the information. But the information we have, God works everything according to his eternal purpose. God took Elijah away because his purpose had been fulfilled. His purpose had been fulfilled. In other words, God said, Elijah, your day is up. And you know what? When we take life this way, we can go through life and have the peace that passes all understanding to know that God does works, has a reason why he works everything, as everything is for a purpose. And when you understand this, when you see the crazy things that happen, you won't be frustrated, you won't question God, because you know that he has an eternal purpose in what he did. Another example, for time's sake, let's go in Jesus, the kingdom gospel. Jesus, John the Baptist. We know the story. John the Baptist introduced the Messiah. He says, what did Jesus say? What did John the Baptist say? You know the story. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he was Jesus' what? Cousin. And because they were so close, he introduced the Messiah. Somebody would think, well, you know what? Because he has such a closeness to Jesus, God's going to probably keep him around for a long time, and he's going to ease out of here, so what? In the ease of roses. Because he was what? He was the one that what? Introduced the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Were they close? You know they were close. They're cousins. But God does not do it. God does not work according to what we call family trees. He works according to purpose. Now, if anybody you feel will have an easy time, you think it was John the Baptist. But no, you see how consistent God's word is? It's consistent. But for this sake, let's read the story here because we have time. Let's read the story here because it is, in essence, another example of God's what? Purpose. Another example of God's purpose. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 13. We're going all the way up regarding his purpose. Now, here's John the Baptist now, the one, 14:1, yeah, we can go and read the 13 verses. Again, the one that what? Was prophesied, the one that thousands of years, they were waiting for this day, for Jesus to be what? Introduced. And somebody would say, well, John, he would have a what? A very, you know, hey, he introduced Jesus. Let's read, let's begin.
Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, King James Version. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Mm-hmm. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Mm-hmm. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for his oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her.
Is it? Okay. In other words, what's the point here? Notice, look at the conditions. John was in prison. He was in prison. And he spoke out against the king for having an affair with his brother's wife, right? So you would think that, so you know, in that day, here they're having a party under the most vile conditions. The girl was dancing, and he was drunk, and she, either through the influence of her mother, under those conditions, beheaded. And a head bought on the charger. You cannot look at that and explain it from that time, but from our view, God had a what? Purpose. In other words, if you notice, John the Baptist was on the scene, it was like he introduced Jesus and he disappeared. His purpose was fulfilled. A young man, but he was out of here. See, we understand this, and this is the problem that churches, the body of Christ, have today. We don't deal with death too well. Because the leaders have not done it. They've done a poor job in really explaining the eternal purpose of God in all things. He worketh all things out after the counsel of his will. And looking at the history, he mentioned John, but all the other disciples, all of them, they were martyred. And you would think that those that walked with Jesus, he would have given them what? Long life. But they were all martyred, except Judas and John. Now notice purpose in this. Peter, crucified, upside down. They were all what? Martyred, other than what? Judas and John. Now notice John. They tried to kill John. They tried to do everything. You study history, they tried to kill John. And at one time, according to the historians, they said, I tell you, we got him now. They were going to put him in some boiling oil. And couldn't kill him. Then they said, well, I tell you, so they decided to send him on the Isle of Patmos around the wild beast. And their thinking then was, okay, the animals would kill him. But what? God had a purpose. And what was the purpose? God showed John the last days, the book of Revelation, and they were not going to do anything to the apostle John until his purpose was fulfilled. So that should give you peace to know, in spite of your problems, in spite of what you're going through, God has a purpose for my life, and I'm here by the grace of God until that purpose is fulfilled. Now let me ask you a quick question. How many of you look back on your life? You look back on your life, and just real quick, let's take an assessment on your life. Some of you for the past 20 years, some of you for the past 30, some of you for the past 40, some for the past 50, 60. I'm going to stop there. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed a good time of that. You look back on your life. Some of you doing those kind of crazy college days. You look back, and you say, wow. Just about a quick show of hands. How many of you look back in your life and say, based upon what I just went through, I should have gotten killed, died. We've all, I guarantee you, some of you, if you think hard enough, you can raise your hand. Some of you have done the most foolish things. I can point 10 fingers to me. You have done the most crazy foolish things. You say, Lord, how did I escape out of this? I tell you how you escaped. God had a purpose. Until that purpose was fulfilled, you ain't going nowhere. I don't care what happened to you. God had a purpose. God's purpose is fulfilled. I remember my wife is telling me the story. She was a little girl. I believe it was on, if I'm not mistaken, Woodward Avenue. They were walking, passing, and they were walking. All of a sudden, this car, my wife was walking, she was talking to another sister, and all of a sudden, the car was headed right to them, and you know, your eyes know it's got to be a crash. It's got to be a collision. And the moment that it was a red car, I believe, the moment my wife, they blinked the eye, that car was on the other side of the street. In other words, in essence, God had a purpose. That car was on the other side of the street. Now, looking at that time, she didn't know, but now looking at what our gospel and the information we have is that God just went in a second. transport that car so that they didn't get hit. In other words, God has a purpose. The one purpose, God knew that God knew who she was going to marry 37 years ago. See, God knew. I think she told me she was about 15. So, see? You see, if you understand the workings of God, things that happen, it makes sense now. It makes sense now. You know, you were all of a sudden, you know, you made a decision. You said, wow, why did I do that? Purpose. Some of the wise, great decisions you made. You made a wonderful decision. Why do you make that great decision? Purpose. And then what? God has a way of showing that what? All have sinned to show how weak we are. Sometimes God will allow you to make some boneheaded decisions. Why do you do that? Purpose. And people are mad. It's amazing. I talked to a brother the other day. He said, I love the Lord, but I'm so frustrated. Why? In essence, he was saying, he did and made a big mistake 20 years ago. He said, if I had done the right thing 20 years ago, I wouldn't be frustrated now. I said, brother, understand. Understand eternal purpose. What you did was all purposed by God. It was in the sand. It was actualized by what God said. And God spoke of your life before you even got here. God said it. And when you understand purpose and godly intent, eternal intent, you can go through life. And by the way, sometimes God will reveal to you what his purpose. And sometimes he won't. People, some of you have been asking God about something for 30 years. Then it is his purpose. And it's for his own good pleasure. Get a good night's sleep. If he shows you, wonderful. But he's not going to show you everything. But that's what faith is. We walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I don't understand everything. I don't know why I made some boneheaded mistakes. And I made some. But I do know that those mistakes just didn't show up. It was already designed. And by the way, God is not designed. He's not here to hurt you. But he's interested in your growth and maturity. And in a minute times, he'll take you through the valley of the shadow of death. Followed by purpose. But see, here's the problem. If you don't teach people this, you know what we're saying? We're going back here to teach. See, here's the problem. Telling everybody to thank God. If God give you that raise, wonderful. It's by purpose. If God give you that promotion, wonderful. It's by purpose. But now here's the problem. If you tell people that if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and if they do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and if it doesn't happen, you'll get mad at the preacher. In fact, there was a mega preacher, mega church, about a year ago. He told this church, in his church, that, okay, you do this, 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 and this, and this will happen. And a member there got mad because they did this, 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 and the opposite happened. Why? They did what he told them to do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Why did this happen? Purpose. So they got mad at the preacher. They were going to sue the preacher. Preacher, you told me this, and the opposite happened. But you know, see, you know what I mentioned? If you preach the truth and teach the truth, you don't have to make up stuff. And I'm telling you, I realize that this kind of teaching, preaching, is not going to draw the crowds. Because everybody wanting to get healed. And by the way, if I get sick, I'm praying for me. I want to be healed, right? But I, with the wisdom and knowledge, God heals according to purpose. But if you preach that everybody's going to get healed, and somebody in your church died of cancer, then you're confused. And the people are going to be confused. But if you understand, God heals by purpose. He sends some of his people home from the hospital. In absent from the body, present the Lord by purpose. And if you understand God's purpose, as we things happen that we don't understand, we know that God is still in control. Some of you may know, just in February, some of you may know my grandson, Christian McIntyre, March the 3rd, he was born premature February the 10th. And my wife, he was in the hospital for almost 3 weeks. And my wife ran to some family members. They had a little home celebration for him coming from the hospital this Saturday, March 3rd. So, in essence, I was there. And my son, Mickey, says, "Daddy, you can hold Christian now." And I was holding him in my arms. And note, this is the natural part of me. Here, my grandson just home from the hospital. And the natural part of me said, "Oh, one day I can take him to church with my grandson Jamie there. One day we'll be going to the zoo together." You know, you're thinking, all this time I'm planning to be with my grandson. This was the time, March the 3rd, I was holding him in my arms. My wife, we had my grandson in my arms. And what happened? Came home, and on March the 10th, Mick and Jasmine called us. Some of y'all know the story. They called us early Thursday morning and told us that Christian, my grandson, had passed. Our grandson had passed. He woke up and did not respond. So he lived 5 weeks. So in essence, when that happened, you know, we're only human, right? All of a sudden I thought about all the things that the time that I would not have with my grandson. But then, just like this, my wife was talking about things that time we would not have with our grandson. But God, just like this, took us to the eternal plane. Took our elevator, our thinking, to eternality, to godly intent, to godly purpose. In other words, just as clear, the Lord spoke and said, "My purpose for Christian had been fulfilled." My purpose for Christian had been fulfilled. This is where a lot of God's people miss it. They'll say, "How in the world, preacher, you're crazy. How in the world can a purpose be fulfilled? He would never go to school. He would never play with his friends. He would never get a job. He would never go to college. How in the world can you say a purpose can be fulfilled after only 5 weeks? Preacher, how can you say that?" It's not a matter of what I say. It's what God said. See, Paul, in one account, Paul says, "Consider what I say. Consider what God said, and the Lord gives the understanding." How can a life be fulfilled in 5 weeks? Another account. We had a funeral here at our church. Babe was born. Baby died. Pastor did a funeral. About 5 years ago, right? Yeah. A little longer than that, yeah. Baby passed. And the pastor tried to counsel the mother, but in essence she was saying, "It's just not fair." You know, she had mentioned she took her prenatal vitamins, and one of them, they should do that. Amen. But the baby passed, did not understand. How can a baby, so what, God's purpose was fulfilled? Was fulfilled. See, here's the issue. Here's the problem. God's purpose is not based on time. It's based on his eternal intent. And when you understand that, you can have peace that passes all understanding. Now, let's look at this a little further, because people are still saying, how in the world can God's purpose be fulfilled in only what? A short time. I tell you what, Paul, notice what we did now. We started from our gospel. The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and we're now teaching some things to clear up some things, but we're taking this from the eternal view. Let's go to, it's something that Peter says about Paul. Let's go here real slow. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. We're still talking about eternal purpose, eternal intent. 2 Peter chapter 3, and what we're going to do here is the 8th verse. You know, we steer here pages. 2 Peter. Okay, my time is almost up, so we're going to move right on. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Okay, I believe they're right. Okay, read verse 8. And then what we're going to do, read verse 8 first. And then we're going to do something different. Just read verse 8 first, okay?
We're reading from the book of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse, King James Version. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
One day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Will somebody tell him, let's go back 2,000 years ago. Understand, we need to see something else we need to understand. When God used the prophets and the people, his servants, to write, many times they didn't understand what they were writing. They wrote as they were what? Moved to write, but many times they didn't understand. I guarantee you, now the understanding that Peter had here, when it says 1,000 years, now we don't have time, but in essence, Peter's mind goes back. If you read the next verses, his mind goes back to what? The time where in the future where God is going to bring Israel back to what? Himself. And what's going to happen? We know the story, the tribulation period. By the way, another thing for your peace. I know some of God's people are afraid they're going to go through the tribulation. Let me say this. Relax. Relax. We will not be going through no tribulation because, number one, Paul says, we have not been appointed to wrath. The tribulation is designed to Israel. It's designed to bring Israel back to God. So when the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here. The rapture of the church, we're going to be out of here before God deals with Israel. So you can peace. You don't have to worry about taking the mark of the beast and all that. That's not for us. That is for the Commonwealth of Israel. You meant that time period. But he mentioned 1,000 years. What about 1,000 years? Peter goes, he talks about that time, right? In other words, the knowledge that Peter had at that time was that it was going to be, what, the thousand years, the reign of Christ and the tribulation. That's why he refers to this in the same chapter. But it's in essence, here's what's happening. Somewhere between verse 8 and verse 15, Peter got a hold of Paul's epistles. Because here's the key. We're going to read something that Peter says in verse 16 that's going to reflect back to what he said in verse 8. That one day is as 1,000 years. See, initially, Peter is thinking, what? Physicality. But when you read verse 16, he's now writing spirituality. Verse 15 talks about the what? The 1,000 years. You can see that kingdom. But notice what he says in verse 16 that's going to refer back to what he said in verse 8. Let's go to verse 16, Deacon. Let's read verse 16.
Now 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking...
Yes, please.
Backing up to verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things.
Of these things.
In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
You see, the verse 16 is that these things are hard to understand. Go back to verse 8. What's hard to understand? It is hard to understand how 1,000 years can be as one day. That's hard to understand. And if you're looking at it in the physical realm, it's hard to understand. But in the eternal view, let's take our view in eternality. In the eternal view, in essence, God, through his eternal purpose, can take 1,000 years, and he,
if what would take him 1,000 years to do in terms of time, God can do it in one day, in 1 hour, in 1 minute, in 1 second. Because God is not limited. How many? God is timeless. God is not controlled by time. God's eternal purpose is not directed by time. It's directed by his intent. It's not directed by his time. It's directed by what he has purposed, what he has decreed. It's directed by the sand. And if God said you can live 100 years, if that's decreed, get ready. It's already done. It's already done. It's not about how many vitamins you take. Thank God for that. It's not about the exercise. Thank God for that. But see, many times you do not understand eternal purpose. Things are happening. You don't understand because you're looking at it, what, physical. They had an account some time ago, a person lived 100 years. 100 years. They asked him, sir, what's your secret? You really want to know? Yes. My secret for the past 50 years. A cigarette a day and a scotch of vodka. That was his secret. That was what he did. Notice, that was a scotch of vodka and a cigarette a day. Notice, it's all about purpose. Now see, somebody read that. Now, by the way, we're not, amen. Amen. I'm just saying. Somebody read that and you try to do the same thing and you're going to have lung cancer. It's all about his purpose. And that's why people get confused because they're looking at things down here and not looking at godly intent. See, let's look at some things that we can read down here. It goes back to purpose. Another person, oh man, he was considered one of the healthiest men alive. Perfect sugar, perfect blood pressure, perfect weight. Ran a marathon every year. And he was recorded to live based upon this data. They would give him 110 years to live. This young man woke up one day out jogging, dropped dead of a heart attack. And the whole medical community was confused. How can somebody have perfect health drop dead? It's not about that. It's about purpose. And when you live your life this way, things happen out here. You won't be confused. Things just happen. You won't be confused. I'm closing 5 more minutes. Let's take this to for today. We're looking at eternal purpose from the old days, from the old times writings. But let's look at some things about from today. So we can relate to those that's watching in other parts of the country. You may know this, but you may not know if you don't. See, when we teach and preach this, we're not confined just in the United States. For those that came in late, our message goes to parts of many other countries and nations. So many times we have to be careful what we say, because sometimes we're talking about, okay, let's talk about how to pray for your third car. Wait a minute, they don't have no cars out there. They're walking. In fact, many of our minister friends, they walk to internet cafes, they walk miles just to get on the internet to hear the message. See that? But it's interesting. If you're preaching the truth, it can cross all barriers. If you're preaching the truth. But this example, I was thinking 2001, September 11th, confused a lot of people. You know what happened? One good thing that happened? You know the Twin Towers, right? When those planes hit the Twin Towers, one thing that excited me, churches all over the United States were packed. They were filled, Pastor. They were filled, Minister. They were packed out. And you know why they were packed out? Because people were looking for answers. And I said, wouldn't it be nice? And I thank God for those people, ministers, that gave the people what they needed to hear about truth, purpose. For some, they heard all kind of stuff. Oh, the Twin Towers. God just got fed up. God got tired of America's sin. God got fed up, so he just retaliated. You heard that? Heard all kind of stuff. Heard everything. And then, in the essence of all of this, why did it happen? It was all purpose. It was all about his intent. It was all about purpose. Because number one, see, if you look at things based on where they are, you'll be confused because when things happen, you have no answers. And so then you'll be what? Coming up with stuff. Coming up with stuff. We all know the happening thing in New Orleans. When Katrina hit.
Let's look at some things about God's purpose that we know that happened a few years ago. Katrina hit. There was a preacher, a well-known preacher. If I mention his name, everybody here would know him. He said, oh yeah, those people in New Orleans, the hurricane hit because all that voodoo, all that false religion, God has got mad. And he sent the hurricane. Oh yeah? So God got mad, right? Well, it's interesting. In spite of Hurricane Katrina, my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, he went to New Orleans a couple of years later. He called me. He said, William, it's interesting. Listen now. When the hurricane hit, Bourbon Street was still partying. In other words, if God was ever mad, he would have wiped Bourbon Street out. But Bourbon Street was preserved. And the menopause were what? Affected. Why? It's not about that. It's all about his what? Purpose, and we are not going to understand his purpose in every situation. But we do understand, if things happen that we don't understand, it has to go back to purpose. And I will close on this. If purpose has to drive, purpose has to be the driving force of everything we do, it all has to be governed by purpose. I'm going to close on this. In the, I'm thinking of a situation where you have even in the physical arena, God has given some science and some insight to purpose. For example, many of you have taken science, and there's a term they use in science called the scientific method. And they basically state, you state the problem, you build your hypothesis, you gather information, you state a conclusion. Now, what happens is this. Myself being a science teacher, what happens when you give this information, whenever students have to give a problem, the first thing that a teacher wants, they say, give me a conclusion. What is your conclusion? And invariably, from my experience, many times the students would be in groups, and I would say, give me your conclusion. They would give me a wonderful conclusion, perfect. Each one, you ask, what is your conclusion? They would have what? Perfect conclusion. But then invariably, there would be a group that could not get it. They could not come up with a conclusion. And I would say, what is your purpose of your experiment? What is your objective? They wouldn't know. In other words, they did not know the conclusion because they didn't know the purpose. Or they forgot the purpose. The purpose is what drives the conclusion. The purpose is what drives the outcome. The purpose is what drives the problem. The problem is driven by purpose. And so God has given us certain what? Conclusions. Certain purposes that we can say, conclusions, in spite of my mistakes and failures. Even Solomon said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. God has made certain conclusions in the body of Christ. One is that you were saved before the foundation of the world, and this is the conclusion of the whole matter. One is therefore, now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. In spite of my mistakes and failures, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. God works everything out after the counsel of his own will. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. In everything, we can give thanks to God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. Somebody said, preacher, you must have lost your mind. You mean tell me, wait a minute. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything that happened. Now, if you, it didn't say thank God for everything, but in every situation, you can give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And finally, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor anything to come, nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And nothing can separate you, and nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because God controls all things, and all things, everything that goes down, works after the counsel of his own good will. God bless you.
Glory! Glory!